Gavrilek, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Mick Warner with Mark Robinson. How are you, Robbo?
Hello, buddy. How are you?
Very good. Now, I want to put you in Damien Hardwick's shoes. Yep. Sunday morning, he's grabbing a latte down at Elwood, local cafe. Tim Livingston, the Richmond football boss, rings up. Dimmer, how are you? Good. Got a problem. Shai Bolton and Daniel Rioli. I always say Dean.
Yeah.
Involved in a punch-up.
First question from me?
Yeah.
Is anyone hurt?
Yes. Well, the answer was yes, unfortunately.
Right, do you want the good news or the bad news? The good news is Dan Rioli's got a stitches in the eye. Oh, no. What's the other news? Shai Bolton's got a broken wrist.
Jeez.
Man, what happened? And that's the next question. Right, okay.
Is he angry?
What happened?
He'd be angry, wouldn't he?
He'd be angry. He'd be agitated at the start, no doubt. No doubt. But then he would determine the facts.
Yeah.
So Tim Livingston would have explained their version of events. We haven't heard the other man's version of events.
Yeah, I suspect we won't. That's just a gut feeling.
Why?
Well, if the story's right,
yeah,
then you won't be putting your hand up saying, you know, because from what's been put to us,
we've heard one version.
Yeah, well, there's always, yeah, look, you always worry with these things.
But oh, you always do.
That there's two sides of the story. But I think I'm going to take this one.
So why did I've only got a couple of questions, two. Why did the bloke clock Rioli?
Well, I would imagine that
Rioli went up to him and yeah. What? Now, we don't know what is, do we?
Well,
did he
push him?
Did he say anything?
Yeah.
Did he grab him?
Yeah.
Did the guy say, hang on, self-defense, I thought he was going to hit me, he was grabbing me. We don't know that.
Mm.
And the second one, which Damien Hardwick avoided last night and Brendan Gale avoided Tuesday morning, is how did Bolton sustain his broken wrist?
How do you reckon he broke his wrist?
How do you what do you think?
Punching someone.
No, that's not the story.
Oh, so you know the story.
No, the story going around is that he fell and landed on it. Right? And now, to me, it's only tin tacks. Okay, he's got a broken wrist. There's an altercation. But I'm just curious. Did he clock someone and break his wrist? Or?
Yeah. What, you're going to buy into this, you know, that this is just the latest example of the arrogance of Richmond and that their empire is in decline and that they can't control the behaviour of their players?
I buy into the second bit. I think the empire might be declining. That's only an opinion. Time will tell on that. I certainly don't jump on the bad behaviour at the Tigers. It's endemic and they're a crap club and et cetera, et cetera.
They have had a fair share, though, you would have to say, of indiscretions.
Some of them their own doing, some of them bad luck.
Yeah.
The worst one was the...
Kebab Gate was actually, if you watch the footage, they're just sitting there eating their kebabs.
Yeah.
And some moron came along and had a go.
Started throwing cut lunches. What are you supposed to do? But the problem is...
Not be eating kebabs.
Not be there.
At 3 a.m. when drunk. You're in a hub. You know,
yeah, leaving the... Just finished at the strippers and gone to a kebab.
Well, they might need Sydney Stack pretty soon. I know he hasn't done a lot of VFL, but they got...
How many games did he play, Joe?
I think he's played one because they had a bye on the weekend, but they're really up against it in terms of injury. Prestia, Lambert, Cochin, who else? Obviously Bolton now. So their midfield, I think Dimmer said to you, Titch, a massive loss, obviously. Grimes, they'll get back. GWS,
so who is their midfield?
Banged up as well. Well, Nank the Tank.
Dusting.
D. Martin. Yeah, they've got the kids. I thought Collier Dawkins and Ross weren't that good last week. No, they're up against it, but I think Giants have got a few injuries too, don't they? But that game really is a monster for both teams because once you start falling behind the win-loss ledger, you're chasing tail, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. But all Richmond has to do is make the eight and then every other team will sweat profusely.
But are you double chance? Do you need double chance?
Are you worried?
Well, I heard Lloydie say, which is a good point, that you can only really lose six games to finish top four, and they've already lost four. Yeah. So, geez, I can't see them only dropping.
Can they win it?
They might drop their next two because they've got the Brisbane Lions the following week. So,
can they win it from eight?
Oh, I doubt it. I don't know. The Bulldogs did it once. So, if they could get all their players back, sure. But
they need a lot to go right from here, don't they?
They do. Nothing lasts forever.
I said 2 weeks ago, Jared asked me a question on...
Well, we all know.
360.
When you went too far.
Oh, actually, you played it last week.
Said they can't win it.
Yeah. Now, I got smashed, of course. Didn't get a phone call this week. Nah. Anyone who smashed me last week saying, you might be right. It was just a feeling. I just think...
Well, they were just totally blown off the park by Geelong in the second half.
They were hunted. Incredible. They were hunted like they haven't been hunted for a long, long time.
Yeah, they looked... I did the boundary in that game, just so ragged, disorganised. It was like...
But that's what Richmond has done to other teams for 4 years, mate. They make them look ragged. They make them a bit jumpy, a bit jittery. We haven't seen the Tigers jittery.
No. But then I went back and watched the replay just to see. And first thing I noticed, I reckon that Ryan Mansell, when he got hit in the head from Selwood, which was just laughable that people were saying that Selwood should go for that, by the way.
Who said he should be suspended for that?
The Channel 7 was showing it, you know, is he in trouble, is he in trouble?
BT, was BT?
I don't know. I just know that Joel Selwood was asked about it after the game and he sort of just, I could see the look in the eye, like, really? You're going to go there?
No, Joel might have looked back and said, which incident are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, he's a phenomenal player.
Isn't
Joel
he ever?
Joel Selwood. Because
you thought he was gone.
Well, I know everyone said it. Pick seven. How did Joel Selwood?
Oh, he had shocking knees, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's proved correct, hasn't it? He's just a massive, massive player.
Yeah. But Mansell, yeah. I reckon he was a bit dazed after that. And he dropped a few of those marks going back in defence. And as Dimmer said, they were getting through the tackles. So there are fixable, those things. They just had an off night, didn't they? I'm not going to say, I don't think you'll see them play like that again for a long time.
Well, time will tell if it was an off night. They've had an off day against Melbourne, an off day against Sydney. Now they've got an off day against
Geelong.
How many off days can you have before we start saying,
No, that's true.
I think we're absolutely in a position now to say, is there queries on Richmond? I think there just has to be.
But there's been queries
before.
There's, on every team, there's queries all the time until they...
But Richmond have overcome...
When Hawthorn won all their premierships, it was like...
I remember that 2014 was, I think, Hawthorn's greatest premiership.
Yeah, with all the injuries.
All the injuries. Yeah. Clarko went down.
But Geelong, how powerful is that forward line? Like, Gary Rowan looked this extraordinary, those kicks that he was kicking.
Well, Gary Rowan's got to do that one every 3 weeks and not every 6 weeks. Not every 7 weeks. He's a beautiful kick for goal.
And Cameron, what a pickup. Seriously, when's Geelong going to fall off the cliff?
No, they might not. They could win it this year. They could win it next year.
And Higgins as well, and Smith.
Yeah, they play well. What? Everyone's got weapons. And
no Dangerfield.
And Geelong's weapons, clearly, if they get them all up and going, is their forward line, their firepower, their scoring power.
Mm.
So, but they were fierce in the contest, mate. That's what stood out to me. They hunted.
Yeah.
They hunted Richmond like Richmond hunt other teams.
Mm. What have you made of Koshy versus Eddie? You're getting personal, I think. Koshy said Eddie's got a nasty streak in him, Sandra Sully.
Right, we know Eddie. Do you think Eddie's got a nasty streak in him?
Absolutely.
Eddie's always
experienced it.
Yeah, most people have. Eddie's got a nasty streak in him, and he'll put it down to his broady boy.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he from Toorak, though?
He lives in Toorak, but he grew up in Broadbeadows. You can't deny that, mate. He's done pretty well.
I don't deny it.
He's done pretty well in life.
Now lives in Toorak.
Yeah, he flies over Broadmeadows. But what I've ascertained from the Cotchie Maguire shindig, not shindig, the bloody slanging match this week, is that they never liked each other. So when they were presidents, it was just a facade, mate. It was a facade. Because Cotchie always thought Eddie Maguire was had a nasty streak. And Eddie always flexed his muscle over Port Adelaide and just thought Cochi was a, also a TV rival.
Of course, yes.
Also a TV rival. See, don't ever, you know what that's like, being, you've been in TV, you know what it's like when it's network stars being network stars. So what we've, do you agree? What we learnt this week is they don't like each other. Totally. Everything's been a facade.
Yeah. I remember Eddie called Tony Shaw, who you'd have to say is sort of the godfather of Collingwood, isn't he? He's
a legend of the footy club.
But right now, he's sort of like the elder statesman of Collingwood.
Can you think of
a bigger Collingwood name that you could go to for a comment?
For commentary on the Collingwood club? No.
1990 Premiership captain, Norm Smith medalist, legend. When McGuire called Tony Shaw a dialer quote a few years ago.
Oh, he did too.
When he was...
Like he goes after... Anyone. Goes after Shaw.
No one is safe.
If he's going after...
He's on his... I think we said this last week. He's still the loudest voice at Collingwood, and I reckon that's going to be a problem for as long as he's got a media platform for Corder or Jeff Brown or whoever it is.
But now he's just a commentator.
He's Collingwood's special envoy.
Yeah, he is. I've got no evidence on this whatsoever.
You better not say it then.
No, but it's not a bad thing. Right. I think Eddie's in there helping his best mate, Jeff Brown.
No. Reckon he's...
I'll put it to you this way. If Mark Corder and Peter Murphy sort of were part of the group that pushed Eddie out and forced him to resign...
Well, obviously they were.
Righto. So do you think Eddie wants Mark Corder or Peter Murphy to be running the club? And his best mate is Jeff Brown, and Jeff Brown is... sniffing around, join in.
I was just wondering, what is an extension of that? Who do you think the AFL would want?
Oh, Jeff Brown. No doubt, mate. He was the AFL's
Legal advisor.
Legal advisor.
Years.
You know what the AFL's like? They'll look after their own people, won't they?
Yeah.
Eddie's great friends with Gil. You know, this all shapes up to be. An absolute tsunami kind of victory for Jeff Brown, and I reckon Eddie, of course, as his best mate, would be in Jeff Brown's corner. Yeah. You disagree?
No, I find it very hard to argue, but I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
That's the way Melbourne works.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, do you think Jeff Brown... you've already said it. You think he'll be...
I think he'll... What will happen, I reckon, in the next 2 weeks is he will go and meet with Mark Corder, probably with his ticket. And I reckon he'll have some big names on that ticket. And
how many big names?
I reckon there'll be four people on the ticket, including Jeff. And they will go to the current board and say, look, we want to take control, but a couple of you, if you want to stay, you can. You know, it's not a...
Well, there's some valuable people on that board. I mean...
I think they want to keep those people.
Keep some.
Yeah, but Jeff wants to be the president. Hmm. They'll say no. Depending on how things play out, then Jeff Brown needs to decide whether he wants to get some, you know, get down and dirty, and there'll be a bit of blood spilt on the carpet because there has to be...
What's down and dirty?
An EGM. Now, the other option, of course, is that Corder and Co. just sort of go quietly into the night. I can't see it happening. They might.
It depends how
they're more organised and focus on footy at Richmond. Let's put it that way.
They're more organised
than the focus on footy people at Richmond. You remember they came along.
That was the most embarrassing. I went to that press conference at...
was at the gym?
At the gym.
What gym was that?
The most famous gym.
Yeah.
Sat there. That coup lasted 90 minutes.
Yeah, and that's why I suspect that this coup is more orchestrated and top end of townish.
So do you know? Can you reveal any names that might be involved? Would like Peter Moore, who's been a really strong supporter.
Craig Kelly's another guy. Craig couldn't do it. No, I don't know who's on the ticket. I just think that Collingwood's headed for a upheaval. But it can
Where
be
does that leave Bucks?
Because it was interesting, wasn't it, the way that Kennett was talking about Clarko this morning, that not sort of emphatic that Clarko would be there permanently. Do you think Clarko's gettable for a Collingwood or a Carlton?
Well, my understanding is if the Collingwood are replacing Nathan Buckley, They just don't want the best available. They want the best. So this is really intriguing to me because I've seen this before. Why it's such a mess at Collingwood is that the Collingwood board members, there might be someone on the group who don't want Bucks as coach, okay?
On the current board?
On the current board, who might not want Bucks as coach.
Mm.
Now, okay, no worries. We'll deal with that later in the year. That's what we've all said. If Jeff Brown comes in and knocks over to the other board and there's an EGM in the next 2 weeks, not next 2 weeks, but it's now the next 2 weeks and it's done in 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yep.
What does Jeff Brown think of Nathan Buckley?
I would think he'd have to have time to assess that
right-o.
For himself.
Well, no, why?
Well, you need if you're not in there, how do you know?
Well, then you put a lot of faith in Eddie Maguire. Eh? He's best mate. He's been in there.
What does Eddie Maguire think?
Well,
he reappointed him.
Yeah, well, who knows what Eddie thinks? Most people think that Eddie would support Bucks to coach until he's 80. But what if Eddie Maguire thinks it was time for change? What if Eddie Maguire thinks it's time for Ross Lyon, who he sits next to every Wednesday night? Hey, Ross, let's go for a coffee. Are you really giving up on coaching or what? Ross? Now, what's Ross Lyon done in the last 2 weeks? Have you heard him?
Well, what?
Ross Lyon saying, he said for 6 months, really happy, really happy. You know, I think that time's passed me by. What did you say 2 weeks ago on Triple M? Right, if I was going to do it right, you'd have to get a whole set of assistant coaches and we'd have to have a system in place. What's he going in delivering his plan publicly, right, if he's not interested in coaching? And then if they do want to get rid of Nathan Buckley, when do they start hunting replacement?
Well, you'd want to get cracking, wouldn't you? And that's one of the problems, as you say. If it's the board thing's unresolved, it makes it hard to do it. But I've got a feeling Clarkson could be gettable for any club.
For Collingwood?
For Carlton or anyone who's looking for a
coach.
Do you
think David Teague's under...
Keep coughing up 8 goals in a row in the last quarter like that, and Patrick Cripps, I saw a report last week going to West Coast.
Where was that?
I saw it reported last night that West Coast is circling a P. Cripps and that Yo's up for grabs. So I know most of that stuff you hear is garbage.
Yeah, Elliot Yo is up for grabs.
That was reported. So
he's a heart and soul player, Elliot.
Footy moves on pretty quick. So imagine if you could get Clarkson.
Oh, so no worries. So West Coast says, we'll take Cripps, we'll give you Yo. No worries, a guy hasn't played for 18 months because he's got osteitis pubis. Yeah, we'll take him. That's a really good swap.
Hmm.
Feeding him.
You said you've been strong on Cripps staying, but...
Only because I don't know too many captains of clubs, Mick, who get up and leave and walk out, okay? Now, he could walk out because of money, what he wants and what the club's prepared to pay.
Yeah.
That could be an issue. I don't know if Patrick Cripps is that...
You're not as confident as you were 6 weeks ago.
Oh, no, I'm still confident that he's staying. Yeah, I am. Well, I'm leaning towards him going. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. I spoke to him last year.
Last year?
No, but we spoke about the importance of captaincy
on a
person. And we, you know, we have little chats on the record and what's going in to the public. And then I said to him, right, come on, what's going on? You know, what are you thinking? And that doesn't go into the public. I've always been confident. The Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, but
he's
if he is and he's the captain, why doesn't he just get it over, put the speculation to bed, particularly after that report last night, go to see Kane Little and say, let's get this
done.
What
was the report last night?
I told you that he was going to...
No, you said that was last week.
No, last night. When? Monday night. Monday the...
Well, who said that he's going to West Coast? Please tell me. I missed it. Where was that?
I saw it reported on Channel 7.
Tom Brown or Mark Stevens...
I wasn't sure.
Said he's going.
No, he said West Coast is circling. But this is how these things start, Robbo. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Put out the fire. Let's take a break and we're going to come back.
We need a break after that.
Talk about why you've got off Twitter. So, Robbo, you've got almost 200,000 followers on Twitter, which is a fair effort for...
How much have you got?
I've got about... I'll just check while I've got you on.
I was going to say, I checked about 2 years ago, I had about 12,000. So I'd be really rapt to. I reckon you'd be up to 27?
No, actually, 13,930.
You've gone up 1,000.
I've gone backwards, actually.
1,000 in 18 months.
Yeah. Anyway, but you're off it. Is that good for your mental health? Because, you know, I saw who was the big Lysette, you know, shocking act in the tackle, but he didn't mean it. It was just over a bit overzealous, and he got attacked off by the buffoons out there in the social media world.
Yeah, is but
it,
I wouldn't do that.
What? No,
well, I
no,
did
but,
once.
No,
I
but
made an error. Made an
it's
error
a sewer
Twitter.
Pit sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Sewer pit. So my Twitter broke down, okay? They said...
Broke down.
Well, what it is, sometimes it logs you out and says log you back in, you know, every couple of years. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just log myself back in. But it wouldn't log me back in. So
right.
I contacted Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah. I said, well, you got to send out these forms and they give
what?
You reference numbers.
All you need is a login.
And I said, I just want my original email and my password. And they said, and when I logged in, it sent me to another fake Mark Robinson account. So that confused him. And then, so I've been chasing, and then I've just abandoned it now. So I haven't been on Twitter since November.
And you feel good about that?
Yeah. I don't let my life or mornings or daily life sometimes be dictated to by what people say on social media.
It can be good for news, following news. Like, you know, I mean, I love golf. In America and Europe, and I follow those sort of see the scores. It's a good news.
Yeah,
service.
Yeah, but you can. I just call up Google and type in U.S. Open Masters scoreboard. Thanks. You know,
you can delve a bit deeper into then.
I haven't missed the frustration of reading other media people, and the congratulations to them. You know, both when people float stories. Because people like to get on Twitter and float stories, right?
Yeah.
In print media especially, you've got to have a little bit of substance, don't you? Well, of course you do. You know, if you wrote stuff on Twitter, you can't lead your news piece with that. So I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on Twitter that are just floating.
People are allowed who work for other media outlets are allowed to just break a story on their Twitter. If I was Channel 7, for example, I'd say, hey, put that on our platform.
Yeah, but Twitter's people's own grandstand.
Yeah,
mate.
But you work for the employer.
Do not break stories on Twitter. Yeah. Well, very rarely. I mean, it's a massive breaking story. Someone's going to get it 35 seconds later. You might be able to do it. But does everyone really remember who broke a story on Twitter first? Really? I don't.
Slash
I'm off.
Care.
Care?
The punters don't care, do they?
I don't know. But the abuse, yeah. I don't miss the abuse.
No, you definitely don't. You get some feedback, don't you?
Well, how long have I been on Twitter for a while? Every day you got feedback. Every day, if you believed it, you're the worst person on the planet, the worst writer that's ever existed. You know, your mum hates you. Every single person in the world who knows you hates your guts. Okay?
People would say that to you, would they?
Oh, well, that's what they'd want to make you feel.
Mm.
And so I thought, God, I need Twitter. I reckon I'm not addicted to Twitter, but I really liked Twitter. But I might get back on it. I don't know, but I.
Nah, sounds like you've broken the nexus. Get off it.
Do you look at it a lot? I used to.
Oh yeah.
No, I used to, mate.
Yeah.
I used to a lot.
I probably looked at it twice during this interview. Just
as we're talking about it.
Well, I was looking for my followers, but yeah.
13,000. Now you were always when I was on Twitter, you always were
an observer
to pick fights. Never, and I didn't know this. And this is another thing: when you haven't got Twitter, you don't get into unnecessary Twitter fights with people. I used to get on with them all the time. Now I don't, and your life's better without them. So you picked a fight with. I was going to say good mate, but that would have been sarcastic, with the person you don't like very much, and Damien Barrett.
No, I didn't pick a fight with him. It had been brought to my attention that he's got this. I think Barrett sort of portrays himself as this sort of moral arbiter of journalism, you know, that and so there was a story that I'd written a few weeks ago about Jeff Brown, actually, where there was a quote in there from an unattributed quote from a person.
Yeah, a source.
I hate the word source. So I think I called it in cider or something.
And they, oh, what's the difference between?
Well, it's better than sword. It's better than insider is someone who's inside the.
Some people say a saucer told me Patrick Cripps has got a sore leg. People use saucers.
We'll just say he's got a sore leg.
He's got a sore leg.
But there are times, and I'm happy to defend this till the cows come home, yeah, where an unattributed quote is absolutely a part of journalism.
I agree.
You know, I could give you extreme versions, you know, where a woman was a victim of a sexual assault, for example, and she wanted to tell her story, but she didn't want to put her name to it. Obviously, this is
parents
not that.
Of players, of footballers I've interviewed. You know, don't want unnecessary heat on their players. Well, I'll talk to you as a parent of a player.
Ask Barrett's other hero, Eddie Maguire, about when he got Sarah, the mum, on.
Do you know that no one knows who Sarah is? Do you know that Eddie Maguire didn't even know who Sarah was? Like, when she called up Triple M, Eddie spoke to her, my understanding. Yeah, 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 mother of a player. Oh, come on. They didn't check that she was a mother of a player.
It just happened to be the morning after Paul Little got up at the Olsen Hotel and gave still Hed. My favourite press conference I've ever been to, by the way. Do you remember that? We were up there at the top of the Olsen. It was an astonishing. They hired out him and James, and it was really weird to hire that venue. I don't know what was there. So you go to the top of the Olsen, and there was just like a lounge room. We're all sitting in there, and then they walked in and they had a little lectern, and they absolutely fired the rockets.
It was
at the AFL executive and called on the commission to step in, saying they'd lost complete faith. The AFL executive, but I digress. Why did we get onto that? Oh, Sarah.
Unattributed quotes are
a part of journalism. Barrett's got this thing that he would never do it, and so he's had a go at myself and others. And so I just thought that I would check the database to see whether he'd actually was a massive hypocrite. And
surprise, surprise!
And surprise, surprise! Up come all these stories. Including one way back in 1992, but he's a recidivist. So I just simply wanted to basically remind him that, you know, he makes out as if his hero is Nick McKenzie, the gun, but I think Damo's more of a Barry McKenzie. Anyway, let's move on. What's the best mark?
Hang on. Barry McKenzie.
Oh, it's just a joke.
Oh, I know.
There's a bit of humour. See, my tweet was actually just a bit of humour, but I love the way that this industry takes things so seriously.
I've had a million fights with media people. I have had that many. And I'm telling you, off social media.
I might get off today.
There's no wins. People like it, then you get abused. But that's okay.
I just want to set the record straight. Let's move on. The best grab you've ever seen live? Local?
Oh, no, the AFL. Best grab. Oh, that's easy, because I was actually, I was at the MCG when Gary Ablett took that mark over, and I was in that pocket.
I've checked that crowd of that day. There was 1 million people.
No, well, I know where I was. I was in the Herald Sun box.
Yeah, what year was that? 92?
No,
93?
I reckon it was 93 or 94.
I reckon it was 93.
Yeah, I don't know how I got there. I'd only been working
now,
for the paper.
Reckon I was there. But now I think about it. I'm like, was I there? I just think I was definitely there when Brett Allison took one of the most underrated marks.
Well,
there was
only 12,000 people there.
Yeah, there was. I was the top of the Bronxford.
How high was he?
Oh, magnificent.
And I was
the
there working.
Sleeves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brett Allison, you saw that?
No. I can't remember because I worked at hundreds of games.
Do you miss not doing games as much?
I was there the night Andrew Walker.
Oh, Skywalker.
Yeah, took his mark as well. I remember the goals more than the marks. I was covering the game for the paper when Buddy Franklin picked up the ball in the halfback and Carl Hooker chased him.
Twice.
Yeah, but that first one was extraordinary. Oh, yeah. So I sort of remember the goals. I remember the noise when Buddy Franklin kicked that goal in the 2011 preliminary final to pit Hawthorn up. He had, I think, Tarrant chasing him. And he kicked it on the outside, left foot banana from the wrong side, skidded it through, the noise.
Mm.
And it went down the other end about a minute and a half later, and Luke Ball snapped it from the left, and the noise again.
Great goal.
What about you, the great Marks?
Yeah, Brett Allison. That was the best. I had a mate at the Pirates called Marcus Dentry. He could take one every week. You know, there's just some guys. Like, I couldn't get off more than a foot off the ground. Just some blokes can. I mean, Shai Bolton's leap was unbelievable, just as a feat to be able to launch yourself onto a pack like that. It's one of the great marks.
Do you agree that the marks, when they played out, they look great, but when the stills of them, the photographers snap the moment, like with his legs spread, he looked like he was like
blood sport,
15, 20 feet off the ground.
He did, he was.
It was amazing.
The one as a kid that I used to just look at the photo hour on hour was the one of Michael Roach.
Oh, yeah, against
sitting
the Hawks.
Against Hawthorn. There was a sports shop in Frankston, I think Merritt Hassett, and their bags,
the plastic bag was
the mark. And I just was mesmerised, I was a Richmond supporter, obviously, just mesmerised by this guy sitting up there.
He was so high that he actually caught it low, didn't he?
Yeah, actually.
He caught it like below his waist.
He got up too high for his...
And like his waist. I was really lucky in about 1996, just before I started covering footy, the Herald Sun asked me to put out a booklet of photos of the 100 years of football. Remember that 1996 was the centenary year? So we put out a booklet, and they asked me to go through like 4,000 still shots of the history of the game. So I went down to the old photo room.
The library.
Boxes and boxes and boxes. And I just started going through. So got to have that. I reckon I broke it down to about 400. We only had about 100, I think, in the lift out in this book. And Howard, remember the old photographer's name? His surname, I felt really embarrassed by it, saying I should know. What was his name? Surname was Howard. Anyway, he came up to me as I was doing this exercise, because photographers were told, if you've got great snaps, give them to have a look at. He came up with glass, 3 inches by 4 inches, 4 inches by 5 inches, and he had a series of John Coleman's mark printed on glass, and there was like a sequence shot of him running up, jumping, and top of his head. And the photo was taken at Arden Street.
I remember the mark.
You remember the mark. Yeah. It's a classical art in the back.
Yeah, you and got the shops in the background on the...
He had them so carefully preserved, and he pulled them out, and I'm looking at him, and I was mesmerised. Anyway, they're in the... I put them in the book, the whole sequence.
You got the book?
Yeah, I've got the book. It's like an A3 size book.
The other still I love, Stephen Silvani perched on, Chris Hisker? He sort of toppled, but he got up there and then he toppled forward. That's one of the great grabs as well.
The best thing
about Australian, well, not the best, but we're so lucky to have the specky.
Oh, we are. Where else does that happen in the world?
I wonder who took the first specky. They're like,
Dick Lee. Now, Dick Lee played for Collingwood, and one of the early photos in this
he's
book
not in the,
was the photo of Dick Lee, and the caption was something like, one of the first recorded speckies. That was the caption written about 2008. Sorry, 2008. 1908. And Dick Lee, I think, won Collingwood's Best and Fairest for like 12, 13 years running. Merv Hobbs is another great mark. His back's really warped. You think, how do you get yourself in that situation? Merv Hobbs playing for the Dogs. Anyway, we should
talk. Capper on the steel of Capper lying on Langford.
Yeah,
shoulders pretty
like
good.
Like perpendicular to the ground.
Actually, that reminds me of the Disco Roach one, because I love working with Kevin Bartlett on 3AW, and he was talking about the Disco Roach story, mark, and he said, if you actually look carefully at the photo, I'm running past and he doesn't handball to me. I reckon he's used that line about 10,000 times at all these sporties. But now, just a couple more footy things to finish off. North Melbourne. You across North Melbourne. They've won one out of like 20 games. They are unwatchable. Well, mind you, that was a good.
I picked them to beat Collingwood last week.
So did I. And when they got within 4 points, I thought I was a genius.
I was sitting there going, wow. Myself and you were the only two to pick North Melbourne.
No, Simeon picked them as well.
Really?
And the kiss of death. But
what did Barry McKenzie select?
Well, he's got an issue with North. Where is North at? I mean, North? I know they're rebuilding, but have you got concerns about their viability?
No.
For a North Melbourne supporter, give
made
them
profits.
Some
they made profits last year. A lot of clubs made profits. They've got no debt.
All right, well, just the team. I mean,
let's just talk pure football.
Yeah, okay.
They gutted their club. They had a lot of list cloggers. They decided.
How did it get to this? Who made the error?
Oh, there's a lot of errors, mate. You know what they say, success has one father. No, failure has one father, success has a million of them. They can all put their... What is it? That's what it is, you know. When everyone succeeds, it's the whole club and every individual's done a great job. When it goes pear-shaped, oh, it's only one person. Brad Scott, he's the coach. No, North Melbourne replaced every person on their football department, basically. They got
massive.
It stems
job.
Back
Huge
when Boomer and Dell and
yeah, that was
Mick Ferrito. They all retired, and I think North people thought then that they're going to totally rebuild.
Well, Kingy wrote that staggeringly strong piece saying that Brad Scott was a visitor, but
that was after 9 years.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still.
So they gutted the list. Whatever.
Did they go too far? They cut it back.
How many North Melbourne players listed last year ended up at other clubs? How many?
None.
One.
Who?
Mason Wood.
Right.
Who's at 27, he's been in the system for 8 years.
He was worth a punt. He's had a lot of talent.
Well, clearly, once again, he's a player with a lot of talent who hasn't got every other aspect of determination to play the game. So North Coast, so they're rebuilding. Okay, now this is a hard game of football to play. They got back to 100 minutes. They got kids who, mate, halfway through the third quarter, some kids are looking for the next breath of air to suck into their system because they're exhausted. They'll improve. The problem is it really frustrates me. Is that when North have a bad patch, they could go out of existence.
It's not a bad patch. It's a horrendous.
They're rebuilding. Yeah. They are rebuilding.
Well,
Ask me again in three years' time.
I just want to see some green shoots.
Ask me again in 3 years' time.
3 years' time.
Will we be doing the podcast then?
I hope so. Well, what about the other team, Gold Coast, who had a really...
The other team's Hawthorn, mate.
Well, I give... When you've got four Premiership Cups sitting in your cupboard, I say, you know what? That's the price you're going to pay. So, it'll happen to Richmond soon.
Right
in 3 years when we're doing the podcast, we'll
say,
you've
got a flag, it's okay.
Four of them.
No, if you've got four flags, it's okay. Yeah, no worries. So because North haven't got four flags, it's not okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, they get certainly more grace, Hawthorn, because of it. But forget them for a second. You've got to look at them in isolation. Where are they right now?
Amir's out.
Amira's going to be back, but Day's out, Barras is out. Yeah. I'm not as down on Hawthorn and North Melbourne as others.
We just reeled off all those exciting names at Hawthorn. I can't name a exciting North Melbourne player. I'm sorry to say. I even picked Will Phillips for the Rising Star, and he's not even in the team, is he?
Yeah, he might not be in the team, mate, but he's only 18.
I know, but I just want. I'm just concerned about North Melbourne.
Hmm.
I really am. But Gold Coast is the other one that I reckon are getting off the chain a bit because they had to beat St Kilda, didn't they? Did you watch
very,
that game?
Yeah, bloody hell they did. It was a very poor performance. I spoke to Mark Evans yesterday, actually. I spoke to him last week. I said, big game.
Massive game.
You know what? They just didn't play that well. And by the end, which is always going to expose them at some stage, they got no Jared Witts. Sam Day, whatever you think of him, he's a football, is a tall player. He can be a target. At the end, mate, the big guys from St Kilda took over the game. Ryder, Marshall, Memory went behind the ball, took 5 marks in the last quarter. And usually the Suns play the Suns game, and it's interesting how the Suns play. They've gone to a chip mark sort of game style, mate. You noted that?
I think he's a good coach, Stewie G. I'm not.
How can you tell?
They look at times organised and they. I don't know what it is about them. Whether it is this thing that there's no pressure when you live on the Gold Coast. There's no media. There's no. I just wonder whether it's a wider.
We asked him about that recently.
What did he say?
Do the players feel the heat? Do you get any heat up there?
Apart from the sun.
Yeah.
Well, quite but good really, from you. I mean, really, really good. Is it? And Brisbane is the example of how you can have the best team I've ever seen in an hour down the road. So that probably should blow that theory up.
Best team.
Best team I've seen.
The most exciting, breathtaking team I've seen is between Brisbane and Geelong.
Yeah.
And then Geelong
were more attacking, sort of Harlem Globetrotterish. But yeah, there was a ruthlessness about Brisbane that I liked.
Geelong had ruthlessness and not like Brisbane. And the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, but they were.
Acker was Harlem.
No,
himself.
I know. They had it as well. Don't worry. I would love. On a Sunday afternoon, just watching Brisbane dismantle teams. They were my favourite team I've seen.
And big tough Lee Matthews was coach.
Yeah,
he'd wander out like he was miniature John Wayne, Lee Matthews.
You know,
now you meet him now and say hello Nick, hello Robert.
Not if you say something stupid around him.
If I'm ever on
radio and you just say something.
Stupid,
which I try not to do. Especially
we all try. You know, we live in this immediate world. We've got to do this. We've got to be better. We've got to do this. You know, I've got to fix this offense. All of them, I've got to get draft picks. Give it time, mate. Give it time
for Gold Coast.
Yeah, and for North Melbourne and for Hawthorn. I agree with you. I think Stewie Jew. Messaging and getting his players to do what he does is really, really strong. They need some of their talent to have 4, 5, 6 years into them, mate, in their pre-seasons and get their bodies and minds and around the fact that it's, again, I imagine it'd be really hard to play AFL football. So you need years and years and years to build up mentally and physically. It's ever-evolving teams, aren't they? So we go to the draft every year, so we bring in kids. So Will Phillips comes in at, what, 3? And because Will Phillips at round 9 has played a couple of games and being dropped, everyone's now saying, oh, massive mistake, taking Will Phillips.
The Oscar McDonald talk sort of gone away a bit, hasn't it?
Oscar McDonald?
Oh, sorry, not Oscar McDonald. The kid that Swans took.
Logan McDonald. But he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, I know, but he's been out of the team a bit, hasn't he?
Well, he didn't touch it for a couple of weeks, so they rested him. I know we all like, and I'm part of it, you know, big headlines and stuff, Mick. Big headlines and bang, 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 bang. We've got to. Footies can be a slow burn sometimes. Talk to you next week.